Coming up on this episode of the Creepy Kingdom Movie Crypt, we have got a live panel interview with legendary author R.L. Stein. Greetings and welcome to the Creepy Kingdom Movie Crypt, Creepy Kingdom's podcast, all about films. And in this episode, it's not necessarily about films. There's a sort of film tie-in, of course. But we will be sharing with you audio from a live panel interview with legendary Goosebumps author R.L. Stein. But before we get to that, I have a few things I need to tell you about right off the bat here. Pun intended. Right as we speak, the documentary that we made about Haunted Mansion fans, Foolish Mortals, has come out of the Creepy Kingdom vault and is now on sale again for a very limited time. This is the end of our batch of DVDs. And we're not making this version of DVD again. So if you want to get your hands on this, if you haven't seen the film yet, or if you have, and you still want to get your own copy, physical copy, this is how you got to do it. We have pre-orders available right now at CreepyKingdom.com and FoolishMortalsDoc.com. The last day to pre-order is Monday, December 10th. And if you use the promo code CREEPYKINGDOM, one word, you get $5 off. Next, I gotta tell you guys, we have several awesome events that are gonna be taking place in the next few days at this point. First off the bat, Creepy Kingdom is the proud sponsor of the wonderful Weekend of Wizardry, a Harry Potter fan event taking place December 6th through the 9th in Tacoma, Washington. It was officially sold out, but they have released more tickets. You can check all that stuff out at weekendofwizardry.com. And we have two very special events taking place in Southern California this weekend. Saturday, December 8th, we have a meetup. And this meetup is open to anyone that can enter a bar, essentially, because it takes place at the Cauldron in Buena Park, California. That's right across the street from Knott's Berry Farm. We are meeting up to have some delicious food and some spooky drinks in this spooky bar. The meetup starts at 7 p.m. And the very next day, something that I personally have been so excited about and can't wait to go down, December 9th, we are having the Creepy Christmas meetup at Disneyland. We're going to meet up at several points throughout the day, take some creepy photos, go on some creepy rides together. So much creepy Christmas stuff to be had. I just can't wait. You can either go to CreepyKingdom.com for more info or go to our Facebook page, Creepy Kingdom on Facebook, and check out the event pages for more info. Okay, so let's get into this very episode. This past September in the Seattle, Washington area, the Highline Performing Arts Center had a live sit-down talk with the legendary Goosebumps author, R.L. Stein. So let's open up the movie crypt and take a listen.
And welcome. You probably have already heard my voice tonight, but if you haven't, I'm Emily. I'm the Reader Services Program Coordinator for the King County Library System, and we are thrilled to have you here tonight to hear from the legendary R.L. Stein. Please join me in welcoming him.
guys are scaring me. Well, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you all for coming. I see I'm in trouble already. Whenever I talk to people, I always start out by reading a poem by another author. This is a poem by Shel Silverstein. And it's called Haunted. And I like to read this poem because it's scary and it's funny at the same time, which is what I try to do with my books. So this is Haunted by Shel Silverstein. I dare you all to go into the haunted house on Howland Hill, where squiggly things with yellow eyes peek past the wormy windowsill. We'll creep into the moonlit yard where weeds reach out like fingers, and through the rotted old front door a-squeaking on its hinges, down the dark and whispering hall, past the musty study, up the winding staircase, don't step on the step that's bloody, through the secret panel to the bedroom, where we'll slide into the ragged, cobweb, dusty bed 10 people must have died in. And the bats will screech, and the spirits will scream, and the thunder will crash like a horrible dream, and we'll sing with the zombies, and dance with the dead, and howl at the ghost with the axe in his head. And come to think of it, what do you say we go get some ice cream instead? Well, I'm especially glad to be here tonight. I'll tell you why I'm especially glad. I did a book signing in New York a couple weeks ago, and a teacher came up to the table, and she said, "Can I have my picture taken with you? The kids all think you're dead." That's why I'm especially glad to be here tonight. I don't know, I'm having a bad day. I left the hotel this evening. A woman stopped me to come over here, and a woman stopped me in the lobby, and she said, "Did anyone ever tell you you look a lot like R.L. Stein?" No offense. She said, "No offense." That's bad, right? This is a real fan letter. Listen to this fan letter I just got from a girl named Faith. "Dear R.L. Stein, I love your books. You're like the scariest man on earth. I want to know everything about you. Do you have hair? Why? Really? Why?" No, I thought maybe you'd like to hear some other letters that I've gotten. These are all real. These are all real letters from kids that I've gotten over the years. "Dear R.L. Stein, I don't know if you remember me or not, but when you came to my school, I'm the one who stepped on your foot." I do remember that kid. This is one from a girl. "Dear R.L. Stein, you are my second favorite author." That was the whole letter. Talk about keeping you in suspense. "Dear R.L. Stein, I like your Goosebumps books. I hope you make a lot more books. And if you die, tell a family member to finish them." Nice, right? You know, I didn't used to get letters like that. You know, "Dear R.L. Stein, I'm not that smart, but I like your books." These are all real, by the way. "Dear R.L. Stein, I'm a big fan of your Fear Street books. I've read 21 of them. I've just one question for you. why do they end without making sense? Dear R.L. Stein, I didn't like the ending to Horrorland number 8. Do you have an alternate ending you can send me? This is a weird one. Dear R.L. Stein, in the 18th book of Goosebumps Horrorland, the character you wrote about described me perfectly before I got my haircut. Did you possibly see me somewhere and get the idea for that character from my appearance? That's a strange one, right? Dear R.L. Stein, I'm your biggest fan. I read your book so much, I need my parents to escort me to the bathroom. Tell my all-time favorite letter. This is my all-time favorite from all the years from a boy. It said, Dear R.L. Stein, I've read 40 of your books and I think they're really boring. That's good, right? All right, well, here is a, there are kids out there, right? I can't see anybody. So, we're kids, yeah? All right, you know, I'm going to give you a Goosebumps quiz. How many of you have ever read a Goosebumps book? How many? Oh, wow. Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, here's a list of titles. Some of them are real, and some of them are fake. And all you have to do is, let's see how many of them you can figure out. All you have to do is shout out, real or fake, okay? We'll try it. Number one, Son of Slappy.
Real.
Very good, very good, it's real. Two, Frosty the Abominable Snowman.
Real.
Oh, let's see, this crowd's good. Morons from Mars.
Real.
That's fake. But you know, wouldn't that make a great Goosebumps title? Morons from Mars? And I sent this to my editors, and I said I'd like to do a book called Morons from Mars, and they said, well, you can't do that, you might offend the morons. I'm serious. So we never did it. All right, let's see if you can get this one. Creature Teacher. Attack of the 2,000-pound dachshund. A ghost wears my socks. You're right, right. I'll eat your breakfast. That's fake. But that would be a good one too, wouldn't it? That's okay. All right, and the ghost of Slappy. Actually, that's actually the newest Goosebumps book. It's called The Ghost of Slappy. I actually killed him. I've written so many Slappy books, I killed him. But he comes back. What's happening there? Someone else has their own show going. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
While I'm here, I thought I'd read a very short story. Very short story. It's called Joe is Not a Monster. And it was in a book I put together called Beware, which has all my favorite authors and illustrators and poets and horror writers. It's a book I'm really proud of. And I wrote this story for it. Joe is not a monster. Believe me, I know Joe better than anybody. Joe is a sweet guy. He is a pussycat. He wouldn't hurt a flea. How did the nasty rumors get started? I really don't know. Someone at Joe's school must have started them. Someone at Joe's school whispered to someone else that Joe was a monster, and the rumor spread. Now the whole school is against Joe. Kids are frightened by him. Kids laugh and point at him behind his back. The braver kids shout, "Hey, monster," when Joe walks past. Then they laugh and hoot when they see Joe turn red. Someone wrote "monster" on Joe's locker. Because of the ugly rumors, no one will hang out with Joe. Joe eats by himself in a corner of the lunchroom. No one will choose him for after-school soccer games. He has to stand and watch the games alone on the side of the field. No one will dance with him at the school dances. No one even talks to him in the halls or in class. Yesterday, a big kid from the upper school punched Joe really hard in the chest and said, "Go away from here, monster." Joe cried all the way home. Let me tell you something about Joe. He is very hurt by these rumors. Joe has feelings, just like everyone else. Joe wants to have friends. He wants people to like him. Joe is a nice guy. He is kind and generous. He has a great sense of humor. He can be a good friend. Joe didn't ask me to speak for him, but I'm speaking out anyway. I want to set things straight once and for all. Joe is not a monster. Not a monster. How do I know so much about Joe? Well, that question is easy to answer. No one is as close to Joe as I am. No one knows Joe better than I do, because I am Joe's second head. Thanks a lot. How many of you have ever seen a ghost? How many? No, not on television, not Casper. How many of you ever seen a real ghost? Well, I don't know. That's a lot of hands. Maybe I saw a ghost once. I don't know. I'm going to tell you a story, and you can help me decide if I saw a ghost or not. This is a true story that happened to my brother Bill and me when we were kids back in Ohio. And I remember it was Halloween time, and Bill and I were really excited because it was the first Halloween that Bill and I were allowed to go out trick-or-treating by ourselves, no parents. So we were really up for this. And we both dressed up as ghosts. We put sheets over our heads and cut out eyes. And we got shopping bags to carry all the candy that we were going to trick or treat. And I took a can of that stuff, you know, silly string? You know that stuff where you spray it and the string comes out of the can? And I tucked that under my costume just in case we had to string somebody. Bill and I stepped outside. It was a cold October night. I remember it was that kind of cold that like clings to the back of your neck. And there was a silvery half moon high in the sky. And I remember the ground was really crunchy hard from the frost. And whenever we went trick-or-treating, we always started across the street at Mrs. Dawson's house. We always just started there. But tonight, we looked across the street and her house was completely dark. And Bill said, "Well, I guess she's not home, Bob. We'll just have to go on without her." So we started down the street. We started trick-or-treating from house to house. My family was very poor. And we lived in a tiny little house, actually near the railroad tracks, and which was great at Halloween time. It was all little houses. You didn't have to go up any big driveways. You didn't have any long walks up lawns. And so we could go from house to house to house. And we went like 3 or 4 blocks down collecting candy. And then we came back 3 or 4 blocks, came back, we're home. And by the time we got back to our house, our bags were like bulging with Halloween candy. We were very happy. And I looked across the street and there was a light on in Mrs. Dawson's front window. I said, oh, I guess she's home. Let's go, Bill. So we went across the street, and as we walked up her lawn, I saw that it wasn't a light in the window. It was a jack-o'-lantern, a big yellow jack-o'-lantern with a huge grin on its face, and this big grin, and just yellow coming out from inside, lighting the whole window. And Bill and I stepped up on the front stoop, and I knocked on the door, and we waited. She didn't come. So I knocked again, and I rang the doorbell. I heard it ring inside the house, and I waited. She didn't come. And Bill said, she's in there, Bob. Go ahead, string her. So I took out the can of silly string, and I raised it to the door, and then I stopped. And I just froze with the can raised up here, because I saw in the front window the jack-o'-lantern had changed. It didn't have a smile on its face anymore. It had this angry scowl, and it was bright red, angry red. And I dropped the can of silly string, and Bill and I saw that, and we went running down the driveway. We were running back toward our house. And we were halfway down the drive when the door swung open, and Mrs. Dawson came out. And I remember she was in this long gray nightgown. This long nightgown was fluttering in the wind. And she said, why did you wake me? Why did you wake me? And I said, oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Dawson. I'm sorry, I didn't know. I said, can I ask you one question? She said, what is it? And I said, how did you do that with the jack-o'-lantern in your front window? And she said, jack-o'-lantern? I don't have a jack-o'-lantern. And Bill and I looked in the window. It was completely black. Well, we ran across the street, and we went up to our room, and we dumped out all the candy, and we divided it all up, and we were very happy. We didn't say another word about it. We didn't mention Mrs. Dawson at all the rest of the night. But the next morning, I woke up, and I thought, gee, I should apologize to Mrs. Dawson for waking her up last night. So I got dressed for school, and I had breakfast, and then I walked across the street to apologize, and there was a big truck in Mrs. Dawson's driveway, and these workers going in and out of her house. And I went up to one of the workers, and I said, what's going on? And he said, well, I guess you're getting new neighbors, kid. I said, why? What do you mean? And he said, oh, I'm sorry, didn't you hear? Mrs. Dawson died 2 weeks ago.
No. Somebody know.
That's my true ghost story. You think maybe I made up part of that true ghost story? What do you think? You think maybe I made up a lot of that true ghost story? I don't know. Well, I thought tonight I would answer some of my most asked questions, what people ask me all the time. And of course, the question I'm asked most of all is, where do you get your ideas? I would say maybe two-thirds of my mail starts out like this. Dear R.L. Stein, my teacher is forcing us to write to an author. I chose you. Where do you get your ideas? It's really amazing. Adults ask it. Kids ask it. I was very lucky. I did a book tour in China. Goosebumps is very popular in China. And I did 5 cities in China, and the kids there were wonderful. They were just great kids. And they all lined up at the bookstore, and they were all very eager to show off their English. So the kids would come up to me at the table and they would all say, "How do you do? Where do you get your ideas?" One after another, right? And I'd give them some kind of answer and everything, and move through the line. And there is a young woman from the Chinese publisher who is helping me with the book signing. And at one point I turned to her and I said, "If one more kid asks me where I get my ideas, I'm gonna kill myself." So we went on through the line, and some kids went through, and then a boy came up and said something to her in Chinese, and she turned to me and she said, "Go kill yourself." But where do ideas come from, you know? People ask that. I always want to say, where do you get your ideas? Because we all have ideas, right? And you can't really, where do you come from? I think when you're a writer, you just have to be alert. You have to be open and all the time to, you know, things that are going on. Once I was in the airport in Los Angeles, and I was watching a family. They were saying goodbye to their son. He was like 9 or 10, and he was flying by himself for the first time. And the parents were really nervous. They kept hugging him and saying, "You'll be okay, don't worry, you'll be..." Of course, the kid was fine. And they kept telling him he'd be okay. And then finally, the kid turned, I'm watching this from the side, the kid turned to go to the gate. And as he turned, his father gave him a white envelope. And the kid took it and then disappeared in the gate. And I'm watching this scene, and I thought, what if the kid gets on the plane, he sits down, he opens the envelope, and he pulls out a note, and the note says, "We are not your parents." That's good, right? I don't know, where did it come from? I don't know, I'm just watching this. I liked it so much, I think I used it in 3 different books. I used it a lot. Sometimes, I mean, you just don't know where ideas come from. I was walking my dog in the park, and these words just popped into my head. "Say cheese and die." Thank you. Where did it come from? I'm just walking the dog, and suddenly I'm like, "Say cheese and die." And then I start thinking, well, what if there's an evil camera? And what if some kids discover the camera? And what if it takes pictures of bad things that happen in the future? And that's how that book got started. It started with the title. Most of my books now, I say this to people who are interested in writing, I think of titles. I don't try to think of ideas. I try to get a really good title. And if I have a good title, that title's gonna lead me to the story. I had this title that popped into my head. Little Shop of Hamsters. It's good, a great title. I thought, well, now how do I make hamsters scary? That was the challenge, right? Do you do a giant hamster? Do you do 1,000 hamsters? That was hard, but it was such a good title, I had to do it. I had to write that book. People ask me, do any ideas for Goosebumps books come from real life? And I'll tell you, I can think of one book that came from something that happened in real life. It was The Haunted Mask. You know that one? Thank you very much. That's about a girl named Carly Beth who wants to be scary at Halloween time. And she puts on this green mask, this ugly green mask, pulls it down, and it sticks to her skin. And it becomes her face. She can't get rid of it. And it turns her evil. And the idea for that book actually came from my son, Matt, when he was little. He was a little guy. And it was Halloween time, and I'm watching him from the doorway. He was down on the floor in the living room, and he tried on a green rubber Frankenstein mask. And he pulled it down over his head, and he couldn't get it off. And he was tugging and tugging. And I thought, what a great idea. I should have helped him, right? I didn't win the Good Parent Award that day. But instead, I went and started writing notes. And that poor Matt. Terrible. But that became The Haunted Mask. How many of you have seen the TV show The Haunted Mask? You know, all the Goosebumps shows are on Netflix. Yeah? Well, I'll tell you a story. That was the very first Goosebumps show that we ever filmed. And we had a wonderful young actress named Catherine Long who played the part of Carly Beth. And maybe you remember very early in the show, there's a scene in the lunchroom where two boys are teasing Carly Beth and they give her a sandwich with a worm in it and she doesn't know it. And we got ready to shoot this scene and we made a sandwich, they made a sandwich and put a plastic worm in the sandwich and put it down on the set. And Catherine came to us and she said, you know, I don't think I can do this scene with a plastic worm. I think I need a real worm. I think I'll do a much better job on the scene if I have a real worm in the sandwich. So we said, okay. And they went out and they found a worm and they put a worm in the sandwich and we put the sandwich on the lunchroom set and we started to film and Carly Beth took the sandwich and bit into it and started to chew. Do you want to hear the really sad part?
Yeah.
I mean the really sad part?
Yeah.
We had to shoot the scene 12 times. It took 12 worms. Now people always, another question people always ask me is, what scares you? What scares you? And I will tell you, this is true. This is the scariest moment of my life. It also involves my son Matt when he was little. I took him, he was like four or five. I took him to the automobile show in New York at the big convention center. You know, hundreds of cars and thousands of people, just mobs and crowds, and I lost him. That was the scariest moment of my life. He was gone. I just lost him. And, you know, that feeling of panic. See, this is real scares. This feeling of panic was just unbelievable. And the whole thing maybe lasted 15 seconds, 20 seconds, but it was terrifying. And then finally I found him. He was standing over by a car, and I went running over, and I said, Matt, are you okay? And he said, where were you, Dad? I was about to call the manager. He was a New York kid, right? I didn't have to worry about him. Matt got even with me, you know, when he was older, he got even with me by never reading the Goosebumps book. No, he never, isn't that awful? Seriously, it's horrible, right? He was the right age and everything, and he would never read it. He used to take Goosebumps into his friends at school and pass it out. And I think he would come home, he was selling parts and Goosebumps to his friends. And so he would come home and say, Dad, you have to put James in the next one. Dad, you have to put Will. They were paying him 10 bucks to be in Goosebumps. And he never read one. He never read one. His whole childhood, Matt read only Garfield comics. That's all he would read. He missed everything. He read only Garfield comics. And then later he went to college and he was an English major. That makes sense, right? I actually did get back at him. I wrote a Fear Street book, a vampire Fear Street book called, was it First Date? No, I don't remember. Anyway, it was a vampire novel, and then it starred Matt. He was the star of the book. He didn't read this one either. But he was the star of the Fear Street book, and in the very last paragraph, he gets bit in the neck. I showed him, right? Well, another question I'm asked. By the way, there's New Fear Street. I've done New Fear Street books. If you're interested, I'm doing a bunch of New Fear Street books. The newest one is called You May Now Kill the Bride. That's a good title. The other question I'm asked a lot these days is Jack Black in the new Goosebumps movie? I'm not allowed to tell you. I can't say. I will tell you that Slappy is the star of the new movie. And probably I'm not really out to talk about it. Slappy brings, he goes into a huge drugstore and he brings all the Halloween decorations to life. Everything, all the pumpkins and everything, they all come alive. And I say, there's one great scene, this is my favorite scene in the new Goosebumps movie, involves gummy bears. Gummy bears, they're in the trailer. But I mean, you think gummy bears are real cute, but these gummy bears attack. It gets really ugly. Anyway, the movie's out in a month.
Oh, really?
And I hope you like it. They were trying to figure out who should play me in the first. How many of you saw the first Goosebumps movie? Thank you. And they were trying to figure out who should play me. And they were talking to different actors. And I asked my son, Matt, who do you think should play me in the Goosebumps movie? And he said, Morgan Freeman. He would have been good. Come on. He would have been good. But then they were talking to Jack Black, and on Twitter, I said, Jack Black to play me, what do you think? And a lot of people wrote back and they said, oh, he's hilarious, he's wonderful. Oh, your movie will be great. And then a bunch of people wrote and said, he sucks, he's terrible. Your movie's doomed, it'll be awful.
What?
And then a few people wrote and they said, well, you should play yourself in the Goosebumps movie. Who could play you better than you? And I went to my wife, Jane, who's here tonight, and I said, I have to warn you, this is a devastating line. I said, Jane, a lot of people think I should play myself in the Goosebumps movie, and she said, you're too old to play yourself. How horrifying is that, right? Well, I really enjoyed talking to you tonight. Thank you very much. I look forward to talking.
If you would like to contact us here at the Creepy Kingdom Movie Crypt, you could do so by emailing us creepykingdom@gmail.com. And for show notes, links to all of our social media, our articles, videos, and all the stuff in the world that is Creepy Kingdom related, just go to creepykingdom.com. And if you would like to support what we do here at the Creepy Kingdom Podcast Network and all of creepykingdom.com, you could do so by going to patreon.com/creepykingdom. And very, very soon will be our brand new podcast, which will be a Patreon exclusive, an uncensored show called Live from the Dungeon, coming to Patreon. Get ready for that one, guys. And once again, Foolish Mortals pre-orders available until December 10th. Use the coupon code CREEPYKINGDOM, one word, to get $5 off. Pre-purchase at creepykingdom.com or foolishmortalsdoc.com. And if you're in the Tacoma area this weekend, gotta go to the Weekend of Wizardry. And if you're in Southern California, check out our two meetup events, one at the Cauldron in Buena Park, California, and the other at a little place called Disneyland. All right, until next time, the crypt is closed.